At the Last Supper, he spoke the very most important things that his followers needed to hear and needed to remember. And it's interesting because he shared them after Judas had left the table. And that was when he shared with his disciples, his apostles. I'm going to dash through a few things in this gospel parallel. The first three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're called the synoptic gospels. There's a lot of events that happen in more than one of them. And in a gospel parallel, they're side by side, all these events. So that's what I'm looking at. Don't bother opening your Bible until we hit the book of John. And we're going to, most of the lesson actually is in John. Okay, the Last Supper. Now Matthew 26:2 says, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." I mean, he's walking along, talking with his followers, his disciples and the apostles, and he says, "Oh yeah, by the way, you know, the Passover, I'm going to be crucified." What did these guys think? You know, it doesn't say that they discussed it with him or anything. They just, you know. But anyway, I want to read in Luke, okay, verses 1 through 6. "Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put Jesus to death, for they feared the people." They were afraid to do it, you know, when there's a multitude around Jesus. Everybody was there with Jesus, okay? Verse 3, "Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the number of the 12." So he was an apostle. "He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray Jesus to them. And they were glad and engaged to give him money. So he agreed and sought an opportunity to betray Jesus to them in the absence of the multitude." Now it comes out in Matthew 26:15. All of these scriptures I'm mentioning you have in your on your page there. The chief priests and said, "What will you give me?" Okay, this is Judas speaking. "What will you give me if I deliver him to you?" And they paid him at that time the 30 pieces of silver. Okay, preparation for the Passover. Again, I'm going to read in Luke, and it starts at verse 7. "Okay, then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed." Of course, we all know Jesus is our Passover lamb. So Jesus sent Peter and John, very familiar names, very, very common names, you know, at that time, well, even today, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us to prepare it?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house which he enters, and tell the householder, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I am to eat the Passover with my disciples?'" Okay? I'm positive there was way more than 12 people besides Jesus having this Passover meal a day early. "And tell the householder, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I am to eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room. It's already furnished. There make ready.' And they went and found it as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover." Okay, now I'm just going to slip into Mark 14 here. because now it's time for everybody to show up for dinner, right? Mark 14:17, and when it was evening, he, Jesus, came with the 12. Well, he's coming with the 12. I don't know about you, but I've made dinner for 13, 20 people. I didn't have time to go back and walk around and things and then show up, okay? This is a different Peter and John that are preparing ahead of time, and probably others were helping them. Okay, when it was evening, Jesus came with the 12, and as they were at the table eating, Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." And they began to be sorrowful and to say to one another, "Is it I? Is it I?" You know. And Jesus said to them, "It is one of the 12 who is dipping bread into the dish with me. It's not you guys. It's one of the 12 at my table." There were other tables there. There were other people there, you know. Okay, I think that's far enough with that one. Now, verse 25 of Matthew 26, there, Judas, who betrayed Jesus, said, "Is it I, Master?" And Jesus says to him, "You have said so." You know, I mean, Jesus knew exactly who it was going to be, right? Okay, I'm not going to actually be teaching on Holy Communion. The references are there for you, but we're going to be going to the Gospel of John, and we're going to stay in the Gospel of John. And you may not believe it by the time we finish, but I'll tell you, I have slashed so many scriptures from this teaching. But the Last Supper. And you know, you have your three synoptic gospels, but the book of John is different. It's different. It was written to the New Testament church. It was written to the believer. The other three were written to lead somebody to Jesus for so they could become believers. But John, it was written for you and I. Do you know over 2/3 of the Gospel of John are on the last week of Jesus's earth walk, life here on earth, you know, as a man, right? And there are 5 chapters that cover what the Lord had to say at the Last Supper. These are the very most important words Jesus had to leave with his followers. And, you know, that includes you and I, right? Okay, we'll start in John 12. And we're going to look at the anointing, okay? The anointing at Bethany. Now, this is 6 days before the Passover, so it's not quite Passover time yet. And, you know, it comes out in Mark 14, verse 3. That this was Simon the leper's house, okay? So that's whose home they were in, Simon the leper. And yet, I don't know how it works out, who's related to who, or maybe they were guests in the home or something. But Lazarus and Martha and Mary are there as well. Now, I have no idea how the relationship is, whether they're related or just friends or just followers of Jesus, I don't know. But guess whose father was Simon? Probably a different Simon, I believe. But Judas Iscariot, his father's name was Simon. Duh. It comes out in the scriptures that I have written down. Okay, but we'll just go to the Book of John, and we're going to stay in John here now. Verse 1, 12:1. Then 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. Okay, that was, 10 or 12 miles outside of Jerusalem at that time, where Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead, whom Jesus had raised from the dead, by the way, you know, And there they made Jesus a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those that sat at the table with Jesus. Now, this is in Simon's house. And again, I don't know how Simon is related to Lazarus and Martha and Mary and things, but Martha's doing the serving. She's serving the dinner. But Mary, her sister, took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then one of Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, you know, who would betray Jesus, said, you know, and he's whining, you know, we should have, this is expensive stuff. The money should have gone in the money bag to feed the poor and stuff. Verse 6. This Judas said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. He wanted the money for himself, right? Okay, we'll look at the triumphal entry. Now, I think this is John 12, verses 12 through 16 we'll look at. Now, all the verses in between are important too, but, you know, you did want to go home today, right? So we'll skip a few. Okay, so 12:12, John 12:12. The next day, so this is 5 days now before Passover. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet Jesus and cried, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Who are they looking for? The conquering King Messiah. There are two Messiahs prophesied about in the Old Testament, the conquering King and the suffering Messiah. They didn't want no suffering Messiah. Never mind that Isaiah 53. Forget that guy. We want the conquering King. And, you know, Messiah's going to come, kick the Romans out. We'll be, you know, that's the only one they wanted. And I believe many or most, or if not all of his apostles also were looking for the conquering King Messiah. I mean, this guy walked on water. Jesus walked on water. Certainly he could get rid of the Romans, you know. But, and so in this way where they're putting the palm leaves down and like making a path for him to, actually for the donkey to walk on. He was on the donkey, the baby donkey colt. But that's how they would welcome kings home from battle. You know, if he was entering the city with his army behind him or whatever, and there would be that pathway, and they would throw flowers and, you know. 14. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written. 16. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered them. They remembered what happened afterwards. They remembered that these things were written about Jesus and that they had done these things to him. Okay, we'll drop down to verse 23. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. You know, Jesus is describing, you know, yeah, I'm going to die. But if I die, there's going to be such blessing come out of it for everyone. Of course, they're all upset because he's telling them he's leaving, and you know. And he says, but I'm coming back, you know. Like, verse 27. Now my soul is troubled. This is all pretty well, 98% of what I'm reading you is red letter. It's the words of Christ, okay? This is Jesus talking. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. This is why I came. This is why I was born into the world, to set men free, to go to the cross, to be crucified, to fulfill the plan of salvation from the Father God. Okay, 28 to 30. And here there's a voice from heaven. And Jesus says, Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it, you know, some said, oh, it's thunder. And others said, oh, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Okay. It came for their sake. Verse 32. And I, Jesus is speaking, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. All people to me. If I am crucified and died and die, I will draw all people to myself. This Jesus said, signifying by what death he would die. Okay, 36, and just the second half of that. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Well, they couldn't find him to arrest him, He departed and he was hidden from them. There's a multitude. Somebody must have been able to see him, right? Not. You remember when he was in Nazareth, his hometown? And he told them he was Messiah, the Son of God. And they freaked out and they dragged him to the brink of the cliff and they were going to throw him off. And what happened? And he walked through their midst. They couldn't find him. They wanted to kill him. They couldn't find him. It wasn't his time yet. Was not his time yet. Okay, verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in Jesus. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Well, you know, if you said, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, what happens? Lest they should be put out of the synagogue. You'd get kicked out of your synagogue. Your friends would turn their back on you. You know, you're a nutcase. You think he's Messiah, you know. But it's kind of like people today, eh? A lot of closet Christians around. You'd never guess they were Christians, you know. But anyway, back then, same thing. John 13. Now we're going to look at verses 1 through 5 and then verses, a couple other verses. And this is where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. 13:1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world, from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he, Jesus, loved them to the end. And supper being ended, so they've already had their feast, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Jesus. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, Jesus knew that he would be ascending after, you know, the crucifixion, after all the suffering, etc. So Jesus gets up from supper. Here in verse 4, Jesus rose from supper and laid aside his garments, like his top coat or whatever, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Now, I'm pretty sure he probably just washed the 12 apostles and maybe a few of the others, but it doesn't give us total detail for it. Drop down to 12, just the end of that. And there Jesus says, "Do you know what I have done to you?" He's washed their feet. This was a very common practice. I mean, they wore sandals and they didn't drive a car, right? So their feet were pretty filthy when they came into your house. And often the servants would wash your feet when you arrived and things. But here, there was too many of them, number one, and there's nobody there washing their feet. But Jesus washes their feet. It's the job a servant would do. Verse 15. "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." I've been a servant. You need to be a servant to one another, to others. You need to serve people. Okay, John 13, we'll look at verse 20. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me." Well, who's he going to? Well, he's going to send you and I too, right? "And he who receives me receives him who sent me," and that would be the Father God. Okay, 21. "When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke." Now, there were, well, of course, we know that Peter put John up to asking him, "Who is it?" and stuff. And Jesus answers, John 26. "Jesus answered, 'It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it.' And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him." Satan entered Judas Iscariot. "Then Jesus said to him, 'What you do, do quickly.' But no one at the table knew for what reason Jesus said this to him." And, you know, so anyway, verse 30. "Having received the piece of bread, Judas then went out immediately, and it was night." So now Judas has left, okay? Jesus gets rid of him, and then he shares with his followers, his disciples, his apostles. They're still in that room. "So when he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him.'" You know, Jesus brought glory to the Father. All the healings brought glory to the Father. 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." You know, this teaching is basically only in the Gospel of John. I looked for it in the other Gospels and couldn't find it. Jesus must have shared some about love, but not like John. Of course, John was, they call him the Apostle of Love, right? And he lived to be in his 90s. Pastor Bill could tell you more, but I'm not going to let him. And but I mean, you know, he outlived all the other apostles, and he wrote what, three letters, and he wrote this to the church, to the born again spirit filled church, and he said, "This is the stuff you need to know. These are the words that Jesus spoke before he went to the cross." John. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." You know, people are supposed to know we're Christians because of our love. So don't go around looking like you just ate a sour lemon, okay? You're supposed to be loving towards people. And you know, between John 13:34 and John 15:19, Jesus speaks of love 13 times, like it's a little important to him. And he desires for you and I to live the love walk. We are to live the love walk. Okay? Let's go to John 14. This is, all, well, each chapter is wonderful. Verses 2 and 3. And it's all red letter, you know. It's the words of Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, some of our loved ones have passed and gone ahead of us. But we'll be with them in the Lord too someday, right? I mean, praise God. 6 and 7. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. 10, just the end of the verse. But the Father who dwells or lives in me, Jesus says, does the works. You know, Jesus came, he spoke the Father God's words, the works that he did, all the healings, all the miracles and things the Father God did through him, gave him the ability. We go forth, we speak the words of Jesus Christ that he got from the Father. We do the works of Jesus Christ that he got from the Father. Verse 12. This verse blows me out of the water. I've gone over it and over it and over it. And I believe I've got the right answer. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus says, he who believes in me, you believe in Jesus? This is about you. The works that I do, he will do also. The next part, I kind of choke up. And greater works. Oh, come on, Jesus, I haven't raised the dead. There's things I haven't done. I did pray about raining that storm. But anyway, I haven't calmed the sea. Do you know what I mean? There's so many things Jesus did that I haven't done. And he says, greater works? We are going to do greater works than these. He will do because I go to my Father. And, you know, it came to me one day as I'm looking at this. What on earth are you talking about, Jesus? It came to me that, you know, he could not get them filled with the Holy Spirit. He did at one point breathe on a few of the apostles, the Holy Spirit. But they couldn't be indwelt by the Holy Spirit until after his crucifixion. People couldn't believe, really, in Jesus that he died and was risen from the dead until after he was risen from the dead. Do you know what I'm saying? He couldn't, he needed his body, you and I, to get them born again and spirit-filled. He does it through us, of course, but, and I'm quite certain those are the greater works. And whatever you ask, that word ask could be demand. I don't demand, okay, God, you better do this or else. I don't think that's correct. You know, Lord, your word says, or you know, I don't know. I don't think I should be mouthy and obnoxious with God. Anyway, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Again, that it would bring glory to the Father. And you read throughout all the Gospels, when there was a healing, what did the people do? They glorified Yahweh, the living God of Israel, the Father God, okay? It always brought glory to the Father. Oh, Okay, 14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. Of course, you've got to line up with the will of God, but it's easy to know the will of God. Look at Jesus. What did he do? He never made anyone sick. So we know that's a lie of the devil, and I know Christians that believe that that's what he does. You think, hello, idiot, read your Bible. You know, like, I shouldn't say idiot, but it infuriates me when they say, oh, God makes you sick. You know, like it. What Jesus did, that's what the will of God is. That's what the will of God is. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you think, oh, all your commandments, Jesus, what was, there's really one. Walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in love, right? That's really, if you walk in love, you are keeping all of the commandments of Jesus Christ. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Of course, we're talking the Holy Spirit here. And he may abide, he'll live with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, he lives with you, and will be in you. Okay, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The world cannot receive, whom the world cannot, well, someone who's not born again cannot receive the Holy Spirit, okay? That's what it's talking about, because it neither sees him nor knows him. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. You know, our Lord, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there with us in the darkest of times. He's there with us. He's always there with us. The end of 19. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. It gets confusing after a while. We're in Jesus. Jesus is in the Father. The Father's in us. Jesus is in us. The Holy Spirit. You think, we're one, right? You know. Verse 21. Well, those three are one. Verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them. It's one thing to know to walk in love. It's quite another to actually do it to some obnoxious, I was going to say jerk, but I wouldn't use that word. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. You want to show Jesus you love him? Love that person. Love them. Care about other people. And it doesn't say, you know, care about other people you know. Care about other people. You see somebody hurting, you're to care. You're to care. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself. That word manifest means reveal myself to him. Jesus will reveal himself to us. I used to really, I'd go over these, oh, Lord, you're kidding me, right? Oh, hey, that's what it says, you know, and he will reveal himself to you. 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. You got to memorize this verse, guys. And my Father will love him. The Father God will love you if you keep Jesus' word. And we, your Heavenly Father and your Lord Jesus Christ, will come to you and make their home with you. They will come and live with you. 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And it doesn't mean just in the Word either. He's taught me some things that had nothing to do with the Word, but he gave me the understanding to solve that problem. You know what I mean? Like, amazing. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. I think the most amazing thing to me, I didn't know the word that well. It was not taught in my church. I hate to admit that, but it wasn't. I went to that church. I was born into that church, okay? And they didn't teach the word of God there. They did a little bit in the Sunday school. When Ted was five, he knew more in some areas than I did. And I believe me, he was born when I was 23, okay? So, and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. But when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden these scriptures would come to me and I'd think, whoa, I'm pretty sure that's in the Bible. I got to look this up. How am I going to find that? You know, like, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. That peace that passes all understanding. Even in turmoil you have within, that peace of God, that peace of God. I should mention here too, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. When I pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for a person, I always pray to the Father God. Pastor Bill always prays to Jesus for the same thing. And guess what? It's biblical both ways. You know, it's biblical to ask Jesus. It's biblical to ask the Father. And both ways work. I wonder where we are. Okay, perhaps 28. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. You know, if you loved me, you'd rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Then he says, arise, let us go from here. You know, Jesus truly was a preacher, a teacher. He taught the word of God. He's saying to them here, okay, time to get your stuff together, pack up, we're heading for the garden. No, he's not heading for the garden. He's got another couple of chapters here yet. Three more chapters to speak before he hits the road. Okay, John 15. Pastor Bill teaches this great. I would love to teach it, but no time. Jesus is the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. It means a great deal to me. Hank had grapes. We worked in the vineyard. And so you really understand when the Lord uses an example that, and the people understood about how things grew and stuff back then. Okay, we'll read verses 7, 8, and 9. If you abide, if you live in me, and my words live in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Have you really been walking in love? Or did you pass by that guy who looked so hungry and you couldn't be bothered to give him a loony? As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Abide in my love. Okay, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He's repeating himself here, isn't he? Verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. You know what I'm doing, and you're my friend. I want you to serve others, but you are my friend. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And then verse 16, you did not choose me. You think you're so smart becoming a Christian? I chose you. Jesus chose us and appointed you. Verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. Again, love. Love one another. You know, when Jesus repeats himself, we should listen. And how many times hasn't he said it here? 3 or 4 times. Love one another. He's going to be crucified after this. I mean, he's going to be whipped and the crown of thorns, that the whole nine yards. He knows what they're going to do to him. And what's he saying? You love one another. Love one another. Then he goes on to tell them how they're going to be persecuted because of him. Verse 26, but when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit from the Father God, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me. You know, the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. He does not uplift man. He uplifts the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 16. He goes on about persecution. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. And they're all upset because he says, I'm leaving. That's it. I'm out of here. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. You're better off if I go away. 13. However, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. What's the Holy Spirit here? Jesus and the Father, seems to me, right? And he will tell you things to come, and that's so awesome when he shows you things to come. And sometimes I've had happy things he's shown me, sometimes devastating things. I prefer the happy. But he will tell you things to come if you need to know, or even just to bless you that you know. He will glorify me. This is red letter. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will glorify me. For the Holy Spirit will take up what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine. So everything that belonged to the Father God belonged to Jesus, belongs to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives it to us. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he, the Holy Spirit, will take up mine and declare it to you. Verse 22 to 24. Therefore you now have sorrow because he's going away. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. What do you mean we aren't going to ask you? Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father, you approach the Father yourself. I'm not going to do it for you anymore. You do it yourself. Why? Because you're now a child of God. You know, like you're going to be a child. His kid, same as I am. Only we aren't part of the Godhead, right? But you know what I'm saying. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. As long as it lines up with the will of God, right? Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. 26. In that day, you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For, because, the point is, the Father himself loves you. The Father God loves you. You ask him. He'll grant it. You're his baby. He'll take care of you. Because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. That's why the Father loves you and accepts you. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. 32 and 33. Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes. Has now come that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And we know they all denied that, right? And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then chapter 17, I wish I could teach the whole thing, but we'll hit some key verses. This is, you know, Jesus is our high priest, right? This is his high priestly prayer. He's still in the dining room. They're still in the they have not left for the Garden of Gethsemane yet, okay? Jesus, actually, I want to start with verses 20 and 21. I do not pray for these alone. He's praying to the Father. It's all red letter, the whole chapter. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Who is that? That's you and I. Jesus is praying this for his apostles, for his disciples at that time, and for every born-again Christian ever since that time, including us. Okay, Jesus prayed this for us. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. He prays this for all of us. And you know, with the Holy Spirit, you stop and think. We are better off that Jesus went, right? And it, as it came out there in verse 7, I think it was chapter 14, 7. Anyway, he said, you're better off if I go, because if I go, I can send the Holy Spirit to you. Well, when you look at Jesus in his earth walk, when he was here on earth as a man, it was a limited amount of people that he could minister to or talk to at the same time. But the Holy Spirit is fully God. He lives within each of us, and he is with us at all times. Like, we are so much better off having, and Jesus is within as well, you see. So it covers all, everybody. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay, 17. This is the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ for you and I, and for all his disciples, all his followers. Verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you. That they may know you, Father God, the only true God. And Jesus Christ, whom you, Father, have sent. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. You know, Jesus was involved in creating the world and everything. Verse 8. For I have given to them the words which you, Father, have given to me, and they have received them. These apostles, these disciples have received your word, Father, and have known surely that I came forth from you, Father God. And they have believed that you, Father God, sent me. Verse 10. And all mine are yours, Father, and yours, Father, are mine. And I, Jesus, am glorified in them. I am glorified in them. Jesus is glorified in us as we obey his word, as we walk in love, as we do his works. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name, Father God. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus spoke the Father's words. Jesus did the Father's works and miracles. We speak the words of Jesus and the Father, and we do their works. Actually, Jesus does them through us, right? Jesus is still doing all the miracles today, but he's doing it through his body. That's you and I and the rest of the body of Christ. Verse 15. I do not pray that you, Father God, should take them out of the world, but that you, Father God, should keep them from the evil. Okay? And some translations, it says from the evil one. Verse 17, sanctify them, make them holy, sanctify them by your truth, Father God. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. God's word changes not, it stands forever, forever. Drop down to verse 23. I in them, and you and me, Father, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, Jesus is saying to the Father, which you, Father God, have given me. For you, Father, loved me before the foundation of the world. Verse 26, and I have declared to them your name, Father God, and will declare it, that the love with which you, Father God, loved me may be in them, and I in them. One more weeny scripture. It's worthwhile, guys. John 18. I want to teach the whole chapter, but I won't. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron. Okay, so now he's leaving the dining room, right? This is like three chapters later after he said, okay, pack up, we're leaving. And then he had a few more words to speak, right? Where there was a garden, which he, Jesus, and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed Jesus, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples, and that they would sleep under the olive trees and stuff. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. They're all armed. They're going to come and arrest Jesus where the multitudes are sleeping, okay? This is probably midnight or whatever. Verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, Jesus knew what he was looking at. He knew the suffering he was going to have to go through. Jesus goes forward and says to them, and here they are armed and everything, whom are you seeking? He went to them. He didn't run. You read about Muhammad? He ran. Jesus didn't run. He faced them square on. He says, who are you looking for? And they answered Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus says to them, I am. You know, the he is italicized here in the King James. It's not there. Jesus says, I am. Well, what happens? And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Then, who's the great I am, by the way? Awesome Almighty God, you know what I mean? Yahweh, the living God of Israel. Oh, yeah. Then, when Jesus said to them, I am, what happened? They drew back and fell to the ground. So here's all these troops with their lanterns and their weapons, and they're laying on the ground. Who's in control? Jesus Christ is in control. He was in control at all times, at all times. Verse 7, then Jesus asked them again, and I love it because he's got to be standing there looking down at them. Who you guys looking for? You know, like, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. So he says to them, I have told you I am. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way. Jesus is in control. He was always in control of the situation. And Jesus is still ministering to people today through you and I, his body, the body of Christ. Thank you. I can't believe I got done by 11:30. You have no idea how many scriptures I cut. Oh, honey, I got this turned on.